podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC and your daily reminder that the Reds are still very much in the title race and there's no need to be having a cry. First bit of news for today is that the fan group who take charge of the banners and flags for home matches, the Spion Cop 1906 group, have announced that they are disappointed in the club's decision towards ticket prices for 24-25. In response, there will be no flags on the Cop for Thursday night's game. Unlike the club's own approach, this has been agreed in consultation with other fan groups. Now, look, they're fully entitled to do so, and there is merit to their argument. However, this potentially is Jurgen's last European game at Anfield. That's a real thing. We could go out against Atalanta over two legs. So this could be his last European home game. At most, there's two left. And given everything that man has done for the club, for the supporters, I feel like the bigger thing here would have been to go full hog in supporting him, supporting the team. Like, we're chasing two pieces of major silverware right now. That needs to be the focus, nothing else. There's time for debate, for consultation with the club, etc., after the season. Now, the sole focus should have been on winning this game, getting through to the next round. We play Crystal Palace at the weekend. They have said that the banners and such will be there at the weekend, but the reason they'll be there at the weekend is because it's the closest game to April 15th. Closest home game to April 15th. And look, it's their decision, and they have consulted, I assume, with Spirit of Shankly, who like to speak for everybody. But I feel like there was a more important thing at play here, which is, you know, the focus on Jurgen and the focus on the team and the focus on trying to send him off on the highest possible note. But it is what it is. That decision has been made. So, you know, they say that Jurgen would agree with them. He made it quite public that he didn't agree with the 77-minute walkout, but, you know, that is what it is. More importantly, the cavalry have returned. Alisson Becker, Diogo Jota, Trent Alexander-Arnold, and Stefan Bisetic all back in full training. All back in full training. Now, I think it's unlikely that any of them play against Atalanta. But for the weekend, it sounds like they could all be back on the bench. Now, I don't know if there'll be room on the bench for Bisetic, but certainly for Trent, for Jota, and for Alisson. Then I would expect that Alisson starts the away game against Atalanta before, you know, returning to league action. I think Jota and Trent probably play 15 minutes against Palace, maybe half an hour to 40 minutes against Atalanta away before coming back in for the next league match after that. This is exactly what we need, because the team were starting to run out of a little bit of juice, and getting three of our best players back and, you know, a good young midfielder, but he's a midfielder who's still a long way from being ready, and he's missed most of the season. So the idea of just chucking him back in, it would be nonsensical. I'd be surprised if he plays much of a role between now and the end of the season, unless we wipe the floor with Atalanta and there's the potential for like heavy rotation for the second leg, or in the semi-final, if we win the first leg heavily and can rotate heavily for the second leg. I don't think he's likely to play a big role. Like, we will just have our midfield spots filled. Dom, Endo, Alexis, Curtis. I mean, those four are well ahead of everybody. So it's Bissettich or Gravenberch for that fifth role. I suppose it depends on what you need, but we've also got the Trent card, who can move into midfield as well. So I'm just not sure where the minutes would be for Stefan Bissettich. But look, the lad has been through the ringer for a full year now. Like, it's been a full year of him having to deal with injuries, because he came in obviously last season when the team were really struggling, and he gave the fans a boost because we were shit last year and everybody was fed up with last season by Christmas time. So when he came into the team, it was just a little bit of a breath of fresh air. And you can always get behind a young lad who comes in and does pretty well. And he did pretty well. He had that run in January and February into March, kind of mid-January through February into March. He'd played bit parts before that. Like, he'd come off the bench against Bournemouth. He'd come off the bench against Villa. He'd come off the bench against Leicester. In the Champions League, he'd come off the bench in both games against Ajax and the home game against Napoli. But he gets his first start against Chelsea on the 21st of January. He starts against Wolves, Everton and Newcastle, comes off the bench against Palace, starts against Wolves, plays against United, and then plays in the Bournemouth away game. He also played in the Champions League first leg against Real Madrid. And the FA Cup game against Wolves and the FA Cup game against Brighton. His first start actually had been the game against Derby in the third round of the League Cup. He played in the fourth round against City and was subbed at halftime after not the best of showings. But regardless, he plays that bunch of games. Plays against Bournemouth on the 11th of March, which is 13 months ago now. And since then, he has played less than 80 minutes. 72 minutes total. No appearances in the Premier League. He was on the bench for four games. He played 61 minutes versus Lask in November. He played 11 minutes off the bench against Leicester, and we haven't seen him since. The Leicester and Lask games are the only times we've seen him actually on the pitch this season, totaling 72 minutes in 13 months. He got injured, obviously, last season, came back, took 6 months to come back, or five and a half months to get back on the bench, but 6 months to get back on the pitch. and then played 72 minutes in a week, and we haven't seen him since. Got re-injured, came back, got re-injured, and then they put him through this program to try and rebuild his body. But he's played 72 minutes in 13 months. Like, he has lost a year of his career at this early stage. That's a little bit concerning. So I wouldn't expect that he plays a ton between now and the end of the year, because it would be asking too much to just chuck him back in. So I do think Gravenberch will be ahead of him between now and the end of the year. A little bit older, more in rhythm, has been playing, hasn't been playing well, but has been playing. So him, I wouldn't be counting on too much, but the other three, I mean, Ali's the best keeper in the world, Trent's the best right back in the world, and Jota is our best finisher. And it's funny, I keep seeing people say, oh, Jota's gotten much better while he's been injured. I mean, that happens all the time, but he is our best finisher. Like, Mo's the best goal scorer at the club, but if there's one chance to win a game, everybody will want it. Everybody would cop on, will want the ball dropping at the feet of Diogo Jota or on the head of Diogo Jota. That's just what he does. He scores goals. Doesn't do a whole lot of anything else, but he scores goals. Liverpool have announced a third pre-season game for their USA tour this summer. They play in Pittsburgh against Real Betis. They play in Philadelphia against Arsenal. And then they play against Manchester United in South Carolina. So the Betis one is the one that has been added. Nabil Fekir will most likely feature against us. He obviously came very close to signing for us a few years back. But that's a pretty good game to add. It's a nice warm-up game for the other two, so you're not going into the other two cold. What else do we have here on This Is Anfield? A piece about Jota, a piece about Ben Doak. Liverpool to lose key staff member this summer, and doubts over another. So obviously we knew Jurgen, Pep and Kravitz were leaving. Victor Matthys is leaving. And Andreas Schlumberger, who's head of recovery and performance, he's also leaving. And it does seem like Andreas Kornmeyer will leave too. He's out of contract this summer. I would imagine the new manager will want to bring in their own people anyway. So it makes sense to move these people on, you know. Mo Salah says second Premier League title necessary to cement Liverpool's legacy. That's fair. Danny Murphy has opened up about his cocaine addiction. Credit to him. Very brave thing to do. Luis Diaz is wanted by Paris Saint-Germain. Interest is real. And a price tag has been set. Now, allegedly the price tag is 75 million. Personally, I would sell for less than that. He's obviously a good player, but he's too inconsistent. He's too inconsistent in his performances. He's too inconsistent in his production. He's too inconsistent in just taking on a fullback. And his decision-making is at times atrocious. So if there's a good fee to be had for him, yeah, move him on. Because, look, he's a good player, but it's quite clear he's looking elsewhere. We've heard nonstop since we signed him about Barcelona. His L-boy couldn't be more open about the fact that he wants to go to Barcelona. There was rumours of Saudi Arabia last summer, and by all accounts, he was very open to the idea of moving to Saudi Arabia. So if PSG are willing to pay, absolutely. And look, there might be a deal there that works for us with in terms of getting someone back. I mean, Manuel Ugarte would be an outstanding addition to our midfield, especially if Ruben Amorim is the next manager. and Ugarte McAllister double pivot would be perfect. Absolutely perfect. And Amorim adores that player. Potentially Nuno Mendes, the left back, who's the perfect left wing back for Ruben Amorim. Now, the knock with him is injuries. And that might put us off. But he is a sensational footballer. Like, he has the potential to be the best left back on the planet. And as a wing back, he's even better. He's solid defensively most of the time, largely because he's got incredible recovery speed. But he is insanely good going forward. Since joining PSG, he's had 4 injuries, all of them muscular, mostly to his hamstring. So that would be the concern. Prior to that, he hadn't had any muscle injuries. He had an ankle knock, a minor knock, COVID, and a bruise on his foot when he was at Sporting. But since going to PSG, he has had injury issues. Like, he had a hamstring problem that kept him out for the better part of a year, which I assume was a torn hamstring tendon. If that's what it was, then that's, in all likelihood, means we wouldn't make that move. Which is a shame, because like I say, he is tremendous. But we'll just take Ugarte. Ugarte in cash, and we'll just call it even. Anfield Watch, they have a piece up about Ruben Amorim. They have a piece about Jamie Carragher trolling Manchester City, calling them the team with 115 charges, which is what they are, so why pretend otherwise? A piece about Jota, a piece about Ian Wright, because he was obviously whinging back in January about Diogo Jota going down, having been fouled by the Newcastle goalkeeper. And obviously last night we saw Bukayo Saka dive in the Arsenal-Bayern game to try and win a penalty. But to be fair to Ian Wright, he did come out and say it wasn't a penalty for him. There's 3 more pieces then on Amorim. A piece on Szoboszlai, a piece on Trent, and then there is Liverpool transfers. The 4 players possibly following Ruben Amorim to Anfield. So, let's see. First 2 mentioned here are Gonçalo Inácio and Ousmane Diamande. Inácio, I can definitely see being someone that we go for. He would fit a prominent need, which is that left-footed centre-back for the back 3. So that's definitely one I can see. Ousmane Diamande, the buyout makes it near impossible. It's 80-odd million, and he's not a starter for us because he's not as good as Ibu or Virgil. Do we need someone to rotate with Ibu? Possibly. It depends on Joe Gomez. If Joe plays at the level he's at this year, then I would say not really. But if Joe dips or leaves, then yeah, but not at 80 million. Next up here is Morten Hjulmand. Really good defensive midfielder, but he's got a buyout of about 65 million, which is well above what he would be worth, in my opinion. I think he's about a 40, 45 million pound player. And I also think he's kind of one of the ones that has like a high floor, but a low ceiling for development. I think he's pretty close to being what he's going to be. So I'm not sure he'd ever justify the 65 million. And the final one then is Marcus Edwards. Wouldn't really interest me, to be honest. Talented player, but still very much an individual. And not someone that Amorim seems to fully trust. Like, when they have their best 11 out there, he's generally not part of it. So he would help with the homegrown quota, but I'd be passing on him. I did see someone today suggest Victor Gyökeres. Now, we obviously have Darwin, but I did wonder if Mo was to leave, would the move be to buy an out-and-out nine and play Dom and Darwin behind them? Darwin has played off the left, thrived off the left at times at Benfica, and with someone like Gyökeres, whose movement sees him drift wide, Darwin could take up that central position, which would be quite similar to how he and Goncalo Ramos used to function when they were at Benfica together. So Gyökeres as the nine, Nunes as the left-sided forward, and then Dom as the right-sided one could be something interesting. So I know a lot of people said, oh, if Mo goes, we'll need to buy a wide forward, but I do wonder if maybe buying a nine might be better for us. Like an all-round nine, especially someone that can link play as well as Victor Gyökeres could. Harry Kane, for example, wanted to come back to England from Germany. I think we'd all take Harry Kane. But his age would probably rule him out. The closest thing to Harry Kane is Victor Gyökeres. And this season, he has been absolutely outrageous. Now, another option could be Alexander Isak if the Toon need to sell. But Gyökeres, to me, just has a bit more to his all-round game. Now, he will turn 26 in the summer, so you're buying close to the finished product. But 36 goals and 15 assists this year is outrageous. 51 goal involvements in 42 games, or just shy of 3,500 minutes. That's pretty special. Again, it is the Portuguese league. It's not the Premier League. But his all-round game was shining at Coventry the last couple of years as well. Last season, he was 22 and 12, which, you know, we've seen Ivan Toney been able to step up to the Premier League and replicate his form. And I think Gyökeres is a better player than Toney. The year before that, he was 18 and 5. So he's getting better by the year. But, I mean, maybe you look at something else. Maybe you look at another nine that could play in the wider area, like I've seen people mention Luis Openda. Something like that could be interesting. But Gyökeres he's been pretty sensational under Amorim. He understands the system. And Amorim does often play Gyökeres with Paulinho, who's a nine, in one of the withdrawn roles. So that's where you'd look at Darwin. And then sometimes he plays those two with Pote Goncalves, a goal-scoring midfielder, which is why Dom could be the fit there. On AnfieldIndex.com, there is a couple of preview pieces ahead of the Atalanta game, including one by Ben Postcod. There's a piece about Luis Diaz and PSG and Barcelona, piece about Ruben Amorim. There is a piece about the rumoured third kit for next year. I can't get on board with the vertical swoosh. It just looks like someone got drunk or fell over. Podcast-wise, there is the new Stat Me Up, if you haven't heard it, with Dave Davis and Ben Boczek. There's also a new Under Pressure. Cy Brundish is currently in America watching his beloved New York Yankees. So you've got Dan Kennett, Phil Barter and Hamza looking at the Sheffield United game, the United game, and whatever else the lads can dig into. There will be a scouted recorded today for Atalanta. There'll also be a press conference pod by Dave Davis. Now, today's scouted, we're hoping it'll be me and Carl. It may be me and Guy, just depending on Carl's schedule, because he's obviously flat out at the moment with European stuff. So fingers crossed it's me and Matchett. But if not, Guy's more than good enough to fill in, so we'll be happy out either way. That's it for me. I will see you all tomorrow. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. there's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.